Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Let's make this a year of action. That's what most Americans want.
Raising the debt ceiling does not increase our debt. Nobody is listening to your telephone calls.
The debate is settled. Climate change is a fact. And if people can't trust not only the executive branch, but also don't trust Congress and don't trust federal judges, then we're going to have some problems here.
What difference at this point does it make?
Everything is awesome.
Oh my gosh, I love this song.
Everything is cool.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, June 8th, 2014. I guess everything is awesome, or maybe not. We're going to find out. There's a lot of breaking news. Alex is going to be joining us in the second hour. We're going to talk about the overwhelming of the borders. Is this something that is just incompetence, or is it a takedown of America by design? We believe the latter is the case. When you look at the soaring unemployment numbers, and of course they like to play games with the unemployment figures, constantly reviving them every quarter, redefining what unemployment means. But when you look at the core numbers, when you look at how many people are working as a percentage of the population, that tells the story accurately. And so we're going to look at what's happening with that. And of course, there's a lot of news in Drudge and elsewhere about the massive dumping of children into the U.S. from Central and South America. They're being told, go to the United States. They will not refuse you. I remember when they opened up Hong Kong Disney World, and they were so overwhelmed by people trying to get their children into Disney World that parents, Chinese parents, were going to Disney World even after it was completely full and closed. They weren't taking any more tickets. They would lift their children over the gates and drop them into Disney World. Well, folks, America is no Disney World. If you're thinking about doing this for your children's benefit, we're going to talk about what is being exposed as far as ongoing information about child trafficking, human trafficking, the dangers of transporting these children. What's going to happen when they come to the United States and they're by themselves without any parents? Well, of course, Obama is going to be their parent. The United States government is going to be their parent. They are going to be raised from a very early age, seeing the government as their benefactors, having no idea about the foundations of liberty that we have all enjoyed, and basically, essentially becoming wards of the state and devotees of the state. They're going to balkanize America with people who have no connection to an earlier culture, have no understanding of individual liberty and how human nature is always working against that, trying to consolidate power. That was the legacy that our founders gave us when we were in Copenhagen talking to some of the demonstrators there. Several of them said, you know, we envy you for having the kind of people founding your country like Jefferson and others who wrote about individual liberty, who wrote about what is necessary for a government to be controlled so that it doesn't control the people. And I said, well, of course, they've gotten around that. And they said, yeah, but the fact that you have that foundation, that legitimate foundation, that's a philosophical foundation, it's a legal foundation, all the rest of this stuff that's built on that foundation is just simply works of straw put on sand. When people understand the basis of that foundation, that can be swept away. So, of course, the government, all governments since the time of Plato, have wanted to get children at a very early age and raise them away from the family to become the dominant influence in their life. I believe that's what's really behind this open door policy on immigration, trying to get these anchor children. Of course, we've had anchor babies in the past. Now they have anchor children. But having these children come in and be wards of the state, it's not just something that's going to implode the economy. And Alex is going to talk about how it is part of the long-term globalist plan. They're not going to have jobs, neither are we. The sector of service, the service sector of the economy, is going to be replaced by robots. They're already doing that. First, they took the manufacturing base, they sent it to China. Next, they're taking the service base that's left here in the United States. That's going to be replaced with robots. So what are these people going to do? Well, they're going to use one group against the other as they take us down economically, as we can see that they have already taken down Central American companies. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with news, and we'll take your calls also in the second hour. Get your response to what Alex has to say. So stay with us.
answers? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, June 8th, 2014. I'm going to be joined by Alex in a special report about what's really going on with this overwhelming immigration. Of course, there's a lot of information in the news about people just bringing their children to the United States. They say, take them to the United States. They will not be refused. They think that their children are going to be educated here. They think they're going to be safe here. They need to think again. As I just mentioned in the first segment, I've seen this before in Hong Kong where when Disneyland opened up in Hong Kong, people just took their children to Disneyland. If they couldn't get in, they just dropped them over the gate. That's not going to work in the United States. We've got information about child pedophile rings that's breaking in Virginia, as well as the overall plan of the globalists and how they're going to not only replace American workers, but they're going to replace any service workers with robots. This is something that they've planned for a long time. Alex is going to break that down for us. But first, I want to go into the story that just broke this last Friday after our show. Paul Joseph Watson had a report. The economist, an economist says that U.S. banks are preparing to charge customers for deposits. Now, this was earlier in the week. We told you that the European Central Bank was going to start doing negative interest rates for the banks there, of course. In other words, charging them for money that they had on deposit. Now, of course, if they're going to do that to the banks, you know that the banks are going to push that along, plus add additional fees to that for their own customers. It's just a matter of time. But Paul, in the article, quoted a couple of economists here in the United States that point out that, of course, it's inevitable that's going to come to the United States as well. Question is, when and in what form? In the article, he says banks in the EU have not indicated whether or not the costs will be passed on to consumers, but the New York Times' Neil Irwin says it's inevitable. He says they're going to pass on these negative interest rates to consumers, or at least try to. They may do so probably not by explicitly charging them interest rates. In other words, they're not going to put an item, they're not going to say that they're going to give you a negative interest rate. That would just annoy people, of course. They're going to be much more subtle about it. They're going to add new fees, or they're going to increase the amount of account maintenance fees. That's always been the case in the past. Just look at how your bank fees have escalated. We ought to do an article about that. We ought to go in and look at the escalating charges for every service that the banks provide. But then he also quotes another economist, Martin Armstrong, and he points out in the article that Armstrong called the 1987 economic crash to the very day, and he says that banks are preparing for a raft of new account fees. He said in the U.S., we're more likely than not, we're going to get negative interest rates directly passed on to consumers by the banks, who will now claim that it's the feds that are making them do it, because the feds will raise it on the banks and then they'll say, we've got to pass those rates along to you. So you want to get your money out? You want to get your money out of the bank and put it in a mattress? Well, guess again, because we got another article up. Secret European cash limits are in place. Again, starting in Europe, they love to start these things in Europe. That's where the consolidation with the European Union started. That's where they started the euro. They used the collapse of the euro to take out elected representatives in places like Italy and Greece and replace them with Goldman Sachs bankers, where they called them technocrats. And so now we see that they're going the next step. As he points out, some of you remember the recent scandal where HSBC tried to impose cash withdrawal limits on their accounts. And this person, Mark Kempton from the BBC, says it turns out that was just a trial balloon to see if the public would object to it. These limits are already in place, and they're going to limit your cash withdrawals. They're going to say you can't take your money out. You got to keep it in there, and we're going to, of course, charge you higher fees on that. That's the way this thing is going to go down. This has been something that And again, we're going to go to the immigration system. But before I do that, I also want to point out that this last week, of course, was the one-year anniversary of the Snowden leaks. We have an article up on InfoWars today from Washington's blog. An NSA whistleblower says that Snowden never had access to the juiciest documents. Now, this isn't just any NSA whistleblower. This was the first of the NSA whistleblowers. We've talked to William Binney here at InfoWars, and of course, he was the technical head with global responsibilities, a global technical head of the NSA. We talked to him about their capabilities. He's very concerned. For a while, he was saying, we're this close to a police state, holding his two fingers very close like a pinch. But now, a few months ago, he said, we are in a police state. He said, for years, and he worked for the NSA for over 30 years, he said he'd monitored during his career East Germany, as well as Russia. He knows what a police state looks like. He knows when they're monitoring their own system, their own citizens, to the extent that they are in this system, what that brings about. And he said, that's what we're doing here. We've had several NSA whistleblowers prior to Snowden that were very, very concerned when they saw the surveillance turn inward. Now, in this article that's up on InfoWars, what Tice was saying was one of the very first things that people would be told when they started to work for the NSA was the number one rule is that because of FISA, you do not ever spy on American citizens. That's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. You had to get special court permissions from a secretive court, the FISA court. That, of course, was created in response to the revelations that came out of the Frank Church Committee hearings in the 1970s, talking about CIA abuses. People were very concerned about the CIA and other intelligence organizations turning on the American people and creating a police state domestically. These organizations that were created to protect us from foreign enemies. Remember what Madison said. He said, if tyranny ever comes to America, it will come, tyranny and oppression, it will come in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. That is what the NSA is doing. We've talked about that in conjunction with the asymmetric warfare groups and their training for takeover American cities. We've talked about the militarization of the police and using the military as police. Well, that is especially true of these NSA-type documents. That is where we're going. Now, this is an article where Tice is talking about what Snowden did not have access to. And he, quite frankly, says that he believes that the NSA is spying on and blackmailing top government officials and military officers, including Supreme Court justices, highly ranked generals, Colin Powell, other State Department personnel, and many other top officials. And of course, I've said many times, I firmly believe that when you look at the bizarre decision that Justice Roberts came out with, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, writing both the dissenting and agreeing opinion enabling Obamacare, that dramatic 180-degree turnaround and writing both sides of the opinion, first disagreeing with it and then all of a sudden agreeing with it, I believe, and many other people have also believed, that he was blackmailed. This is a fellow, Robert Tice, was the very first of the NSA whistleblowers. He was even before William Binney and Thomas Drake and others who came after him. And when he came out, he was part of a group. Now, he was not a technical head as William Binney was in terms of looking at the programs. But what he was concerned about was still domestic espionage. He was concerned about the fact that there was a separate higher group within the NSA that had access to documents that the rest of the NSA did not have. And he says in this article, it is very compartmentalized. Even with the stuff they had, you might have something at the NSA where there's literally only 40 people that know that it's going on in the entire agency. He's saying that when they're doing these criminal actions, it's very similar to the types of things that J. Edgar Hoover was pulling on officials that we now know for many, many decades, controlling them, blackmailing them. Hoover had nothing like the NSA's capabilities. It would be very frightening to think what he would have done, and yet human nature is human nature. There's nothing that unique about J. Edgar Hoover. To think that there aren't many J. Edgar Hoovers within the NSA, whenever you give the government that kind of capability, they will use it. And he points that out here in his article. He says the information that they got about the fact that they, even at the time of the Church hearings, the NSA was wiretapping Frank Church and other senators, and they got those documents by accident. And he says when they're covering that stuff up, they are not going to put it on PowerPoint displays, which is the kind of stuff that Snowden has got. So even though Snowden had top secret clearance, there's another level above that, and we should be very concerned about that. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about the overflowing of immigration, what it means for the breakdown of our society.
from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today, but Alex is going to be joining us in the second hour. We're going to be talking about the massive immigration that's being allowed, actually encouraged by our government. What does it mean for our society? Is it part of a larger plan? Alex is going to break that down for you in the second hour. In the last segment, we were talking about a new revelation from an NSA whistleblower. Actually, he's been talking about various aspects of this for quite some time. Russell Tice, someone who was actually one of the first of the NSA whistleblowers. Many people don't realize that before Ed Snowden, there were, I believe there was five, maybe six NSA whistleblowers. There were four that were together. Tice was the very first one. They were talking about the fact that the American government was, for the first time after 9/11, spying on Americans in dragnet methods, people that were not suspected of any crime, and not going before a FISA judge as they were required to do. And of course, FISA was something that was a provision that came after the church committee hearings to try to rein in the intelligence community to keep them from doing this very thing. And yet the FISA quote-unquote court has become this secretive court with one judge, one lawyer from the administration who wants that judge to do something. Nobody in an adversarial relationship, nobody, no judge on the other side saying, that's not a good idea. Nobody advocating for the Bill of Rights or the Constitution or the American people. There is no adversarial hearing. It is a closed door, star chamber type of hearing. And when they create these, they say, precedent-setting decisions, they pretend as if they are modifying the Constitution, and doing so with a court decision that the American public is never allowed to see. So it's an amazing world. But I tell you what, Stephen Fry had a video that was up on The Guardian. And I don't know if you guys can get a little bit of this queued up here. But he said there is something squalid and rancid about being spied on. He did that as part of the one-year anniversary of the Snowden documents coming out. But as Russell Tice was pointing out, Snowden never had access to the juiciest documents. In other words, there were things that they didn't put on PowerPoint displays. And there's some pretty bad stuff that we've seen on PowerPoint displays. But some of the worst stuff, some of the stuff that is similar to what we know J. Edgar Hoover was doing in terms of blackmailing senators, blackmailing Supreme Court justices, destroying military personnel or generals, as we've seen with Petraeus. And I don't know what was going on with Petraeus. Of course, he has now subsequently allied himself with Hillary Clinton, and perhaps it had something to do with the Benghazi affair, or is why they took him out. Nevertheless, the fact that they're able to do this should concern all of us. It should concern all of us that they're looking at our own stuff. And that's what Stephen Fry was talking about. He said there's something squalid and rancid about being spied on. Can you play that?
There's something squalid and rancid about being spied on. Nobody likes it. The idea of having your letters read by somebody, your telegrams, your faxes, your postcards intercepted, was always considered one of the meanest, most beastly things a human being could do, and for a government to do, without good cause. Using the fear of terrorism that we all have, the fear of the unknown that we all share, the fear of enemies who hate us, is a duplicitous and a deeply wrong means of excusing something as base as spying on the citizens of your own country. GCHQ, the NSA in America, cooperate together through PRISM and other systems to listen in on, to read and intercept everything we send.
Yes.
It's enough that corporations...
It is amazing. It truly is amazing, and I appreciate him speaking out on that. Of course, that's Stephen Fry. He's a writer. He's a comedian. He was one of the actors in V for Vendetta, if you recognize his voice. He has it exactly... And it really is not only Orwellian, but it's kind of an Alice in Wonderland type of thing. So many different aspects to it. Look at this article. Judge orders the NSA to stop destroying evidence for the third time. Say, when you give them that kind of power, they're not going to listen to anybody. If they're going to violate the Constitution, don't you think they'll violate a judge's order? Now, this is a judge that has asked the National Security Agency to stop destroying surveillance records that could be used to challenge the legality of its spying programs in court. Now, this is a lawsuit that's being brought by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF. So they're asking the NSA, don't destroy these records. We are going to be using them as part of a trial. So the NSA comes back with this kind of Kafkaesque reply, and they say, well, we can't do that because if we didn't hold these records, we could have a loss of access to lawfully collected signals intelligence information. Okay? Now think about that. They're saying we can't retain these records because we don't want to lose information. That's essentially what they're saying. So the EFF said in a statement late Thursday, says, how can the preservation of intercepted communications cause a, quote, loss of access to lawfully collected signals intelligence information? That information will remain accessible, even though it is being preserved, right? So they're saying we can't preserve it because we could lose it if we preserve it. Not true. As a matter of fact, in the crazy war on drugs here in Texas, and of course, this is where much of the destruction of our Constitution into a police state, into a surveillance state, began decades ago. We have an article here from the from Forbes.com. Cops in Texas seize millions by policing for profit, and they point out that in a recent decision, a Texas Supreme Court justice compared the act of civil forfeiture to Alice in Wonderland and Kafka. Because what's happening in civil forfeiture is that they're charging inanimate objects with crimes, even though the owners are never charged with anything. They essentially charge the inanimate objects, and of course the inanimate objects have no civil liberties because, of course, they're not people. But you have these cases of the U.S. versus Learjet or the U.S. versus 1999 Camaro or whatever it is that they're coming after. And they point out that in just one county, Tarrant County, Texas, the district attorney's office seized $3.5 million plus 250 cars, 440 computers in just fiscal year 2013. That's about 10% of their budget they got by stealing property without charging even a person with a crime. In other words, they didn't find anybody guilty of a crime. They didn't even charge anyone with a crime, but they confiscated the property and charged the property with a crime. And we've seen this going on since the early 90s. Now even Forbes is taking notice of this. It used to be something that only obscure libertarian journals talked about. So at least we're making some headway when we've got mainstream articles talking about it. But they also point out that most of this went to salaries. They had $660,000 in cash used and $426,000 in cash to pay salaries. And, of course, they only gave $53,000 to six nonprofits that would benefit victims or prosecution efforts. So most of this money is going to the police department. And in Tampa, we had a case where some cops went in and totally trashed a guy's truck when he wasn't even there because they asserted that they smelled marijuana or a canine smelled it. So he comes back to his truck. He finds it absolutely, totally broken into and trashed with a note from a cop saying, we thought we smelled something funny, so we went after your truck. And now they're saying, that's nothing unusual. We'll be right back.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. Now, Alex is going to be joining us in the next hour, at the top of the hour. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to take your calls about what he has to say, because we're going to be talking about the planned implosion of our economy and how the latest incidents of children in uncontrolled amounts coming across the border, how that endangers them, and what it's going to do to our economy. And Alex is going to break that down for you. But before we get to that, I want to remind you that this hour of the Alex Jones Show is brought to you by Survival Shield X2, one of our new products, much stronger than regular Survival Shield through a unique manufacturing process that utilizes iodine sources from deep within the earth. A unique new process uses high purity grade of iodine from more than 7,000 feet below the Earth's surface, far below the Fukushima wave of radiation. Now, it's extracted from an ancient salt solution that yields a powerful and uncontaminated 650 micrograms of iodine per single drop. Tested with radiation readings at the labs to ensure freedom from Fukushima radiation, it's developed proprietary technology to create nascent iodine, and it continues to pioneer our products in potency, quality, and purity. That's available at InfoWarsLife.com. You can go to InfoWarsStore.com to get to there, or you can go directly to InfoWarsLife.com. And our phone number is 888-253-3139. Protect yourself, protect your family, and support our operation here. Now, just before the break, we were talking about this case in Florida where this man comes back to his truck and he finds it's totally been vandalized. And all he finds is this little handwritten note from the police saying that they thought they smelled something funny. He says, I come from outside, I jump in the truck, and the whole thing's been torn apart inside. Wires have been yanked out. The paneling had some scratches on it. One could think that it was a burglar who had been inside his truck, writes the Yahoo article here, but he says it was the police, and Heller did not know it was because they left a note saying what they did. They said that a canine officer thought that he smelled something, so that gave them reason to trash his truck. He says it's used for his business. It's his whole life savings. It's his marketing tool as well as his transportation. He promotes his product, which is air horns. He said nothing was working. All of the electronics were ripped out. And, of course, they didn't charge him with anything because they didn't find any marijuana. They just did it on suspicion. Now, when they complained about it, the Tampa Police Department said, well, the search is legal, but it's not typical. No, it's not legal. It's not legal. The Fourth Amendment says that if you want to search somebody's person, place, property, you get a order from the judge to do so. You go before a judge before you break and enter, whether that's a car or a house. What if they started doing that to houses? I'm sure they will. We get no-knock raids from SWAT teams. People get killed regularly because of those no-knock raids. We need to get upset about this because you know what? It's not just this fellow's truck. It's our rights. Our rights are property as well. It's not just that his truck was trashed and destroyed. We have rights, those fundamental rights, those God-given rights that are specifically recognized, and restrictions are put on the government to keep them from destroying these rights that we possess as human beings, and yet our government routinely is destroying and trashing those rights just like they broke in and destroyed this guy's truck. Now, of course, this was on Yahoo, and it was in the odd news section. I wish it was odd news. I wish it was something that was really unusual. No, it's not unusual. It's just illegal. It's just the opposite of what the Tampa Police Department said. Now, as I mentioned, Alex is going to be joining us at the top of the hour. He's going to talk about what's going on with the larger picture of what we see happening. But there were a couple of articles that came out on Drudge this last week that I think put together, they really show a pattern of behavior that we've been talking about for a long time, that the Bilderberg Group and others have been talking about for a long time. The first one here, 37.2% are not in the labor force. It remains at a 36-year high. This is 92 million people that are not working right now. Now, of course, they'd like to play games with these unemployment figures. They say that if you're without a job for a certain period of time, you've just dropped out of the labor force and we're not going to include you anymore in that. And yet that's, and then of course, they're also constantly every quarter revising the unemployment figures, always doing so in a way to make it look as if things are trending up. This is a story from CNSnews.com. And they point out that this is the lowest labor force participation that we have right now in 36 years. At no time during the presidencies of Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, or George W. Bush did such a small percentage of the civilian, non-institutional population hold a job or seek one. They say that when Obama took office in 2009, that number was at 65.7%. At the beginning of his second term, it had dropped from 65.7 to 63.6, and now it is at 62.8%. So why is it that we don't have employment? Why is it dropping? Well, there's a lot of reasons. One of them is, of course, Obamacare. Obamacare is making all businesses, especially the smaller businesses where most of the job growth comes from, they're making them very much afraid to hire people because of the added costs that are going to come with each employee. They have reduced the number of hours to define what a full-time employee is, raised the cost of insurance for people, and if you don't want to, so of course they're not hiring people and not giving them as many hours, taking them down so that they are part-time employees, and if you as an individual want to opt out of this because you don't want to pay more to the insurance companies to get less coverage, and that's what's happening because it was the insurance companies that wrote this. This is not being done for the benefit of the individuals out there. This is something's being done for the benefit of these large insurance companies that donated so much money to the politicians. But if you want to opt out of that, there's an article on Roll Call back on June 6th that said that there's going to be, they're estimating that it's going to be an additional $4 billion in revenue for the government just from taxing people who opt out of the system. Now, the headline that was on the Roll Call article, I think, was pretty amazing because they called it the shrinking Obamacare individual mandate. There's nothing shrinking about that. What shrunk was there's nothing shrinking about his mandates. And why should we be having presidential mandates about what kind of health insurance we have? Of course, we've said this over and over again. But here's the thing. The Congressional Budget Office went through and said, well, we think that it's going to be not 6 million people who would rather pay a tax than to pay these confiscatory insurance premiums that are being mandated on them by the insurance companies and their puppets in the government. You know, forcing young single males to buy maternity insurance, that type of thing. Insurance that you don't need, insurance that you can't use, and then paying more for your deductibles, paying several times what you were before in premiums. They think that the number of people that are going to opt out of that is dropping from 6 million to 4 million. So the headline they put in here is the shrinking Obamacare individual mandate. There's nothing about the mandate that's shrinking. It's just their particular estimate. But now they're still estimating that it's going to be $4 billion in revenue. So if they're estimating that 4 million people are going to opt out and they're going to get an additional $4 billion in revenue, that's about $1,000 per person on average. Now, of course, Obama said he wasn't going to raise taxes on anybody that was making less than $250,000 a year. And he said, you're not going to see any form of tax increase, not your income tax, not your payroll tax, not your capital gains tax, not any of your taxes. And he said that multiple times, as we pointed out. So there's a lot about just the Obamacare mandates that are going to take down our economy. But this is where it really, really comes in. And that is on the immigration front. Now, on the immigration front, we see news articles this last week about all these children that are being encouraged to come to North America. They're being told in Central America, go to America with your child. You won't be turned away. That's what the mothers are telling the reporters. And, of course, they're coming into Texas. They're coming into Arizona. Arizona actually is getting the overflow of Texas. Most of them are coming into Texas. And the Arizona governor, Jan Brewer, said she was disturbed on Friday and outraged after she was told by the federal government that they were going to be, in her words, dumping immigrants on them, 1,000 children right away. We're going to be back. We're going to have more information on this. And we're going to break down what it's going to do to break down our country. You can't have a welfare state and open borders at the same time. We'll be right back.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. Now, Alex is going to be joining us in the next hour to talk about what I've been just begun to talk about, and that is the dumping of illegal aliens into the United States by the Obama administration. That's essentially what's happening. Now, there was an article on Fox News about Governor Jan Brewer, governor of Arizona's reaction to the fact that so many illegal children, illegal alien children, are being brought to her state. Just this weekend, 1,000 are expected to be brought from Texas to her state. But why are they coming in? Well, they're coming in because they're being told in Central and South America, take your children to the United States, they won't refuse you. And so these parents are bringing their children in and essentially abandoning many of them. A very dangerous situation for them. And before people say that we're racist or xenophobic, I want to point out that this is something they've been doing to the third world for a very long time. This is something that the World Bank and the IMF Fund, the World Bank under Robert McNamara, basically was imploding the economies of Central and South America. Much of the third world is under his oversight of the World Bank. What they did was they shifted from loaning money to companies right after countries right after World War II to build their infrastructure. They switched to a situation where they were encouraging them to create a welfare state, essentially consumerism, money that they couldn't pay back. If they were going to build up an infrastructure, if they were going to build roads and factories, presumably that could build up their economy and they might be able to pay back those debts. But the IMF was accused of rent seeking. In other words, trying to make these people debtors to them. They were increasing their indebtedness by up to 20% each year in the third world countries. So how did that look? Well, we talked about on Friday what was going on in Venezuela, for example, the socialist people's paradise. And of course, if you want to bankrupt a country using a welfare system, no better way to do it than with a socialist like Chavez. Now, Hugo Chavez, Bloomberg likes to point out, kept up payments to bondholders, allowing them to reap returns of 692% during his 14-year tenure. Do you get that? This is Bloomberg.com bragging about the fact that this communist, Hugo Chavez, who you would think might be somebody that these capitalists wouldn't like, they love him. Why? Because he works with them. Because they got 700% profits. 700% profits. Now, it's not much better after he left. His successor now is in debt to these banks. And what's happening? Well, his people are going without drinking water, and medicine. They're having to go to other countries in order to get water, in order to get medicine. Why? Because, as they point out, this is a quote from Barclays, the government's priority is to pay their sovereign debt. In other words, this socialist government is going to pay off the bankers' loans before their people get water or medicine. That's the way that it works. You think that socialism is the opposite of this kind of crony capitalism, this kind of fascist capitalism that we're seeing here in America? No, it's the way that they roll that out. And we see that happening in Venezuela. We see it happening throughout Central America. So these poor people who are now coming to America because the bankers have imploded their country, they're now coming in and thinking that they're going to be able to get a free ride here. Well, you know what? As you can have, just like they say, you know, good, fast, and cheap, pick any two. Well, sometimes you can't even get two of those. Sometimes you can't even get one of those. You cannot have a welfare state and open borders. You can't have it. Even if you think that you can run a welfare state, as Margaret Thatcher pointed out, eventually you run out of other people's money. Or eventually what happens is the bankers loan you the money and bankrupt your country as they make 700% return on their investment, as they did in Venezuela, working with the guy who's defending the people, the guy who was on the people's side against the big corporations. Yeah, right. Paying those big corporations 700% return on their investment. So you can't have, though, you can't have a welfare state and open borders. At best, you could pick one, but you can't have both. This is a deliberate policy to destroy the United States, and people understand that. Many people understand it. Governor Brewer understands it from Arizona. As I said before, 1,000 illegal immigrant children will be dumped in Arizona. Of course, they're coming from Texas. They shouldn't be here in Texas. She said, this is a crisis of the federal government's creation, and the fact that the border remains unsecure, now apparently intentionally, while this operation continues full steam ahead, is deplorable. She said she was informed by federal officials that not only has the government been shipping these illegal immigrants out of Texas and into Arizona, but it has no plans to stop. See, it's an arrogant, in-your-face takedown of our country. It's not something that's going to help these children either. But before I get into that aspect of it, let me give you an idea of the magnitude of it. Now, this is a memo that was leaked, a four-page memo by the Deputy Border Patrol Chief, dated May 30th, that contradicts the Obama administration's assertion that the border is secure enough so that they can now start legalizing current illegal aliens in the United States. Now, according to this memo from the Deputy Border Patrol Chief, he says that he estimates that agents, officers, and others will apprehend more than 90,000 unaccompanied children on the border this year, rising to 142,000 next year. Last year, there were 40,000. So they're looking at this roughly tripling in 2 years. And they say, of course, chiefly they're coming from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. They're usually fleeing horrendous poverty or gang violence. Now, where does the horrendous poverty come from? It comes from the fact that people like Venezuela and other Central American countries have indebted themselves to these bankers. As I pointed out, 700% return on investment Hugo Chavez gave to these bankers while their people starve in the kind of poverty that makes them try anything, including traveling across these dangerous areas and dumping their children in the United States in the vain hope that they're going to be better off here. It says they brave harsh conditions. In the case of the girls, they often face being raped during their journey through Mexico and across the U.S. border. Well, guess what? When they get into America, it's going to get even worse in many cases. A story breaking out of Virginia today on the DCClothesline.com. A Virginia congressman admits to the existence of child trafficking in Fairfax County, Virginia. Of course, that's right around the Washington, D.C. area, of course, and we know how many times there have been links with high government officials, not just the American government, but many governments, with child trafficking, child sex rings. In this particular article, he talks about a State Department employee with a security clearance, Monica Weslowski, I think is how you pronounce the name. She had her child stolen by CPS. They never charged her or convicted her for any wrongdoing as a parent. But because she talked about it to the media, the Virginia Department of Family Services has called her now unstable to take revenge because she talked about them taking her child, even though they never charged her with anything, even though she's somebody that has security clearance from the State Department. So now they've said that she's unstable. They're placing her son, that she placed her son in danger by going to the media, so they're going to totally strip her of any visitation rights. Now, this person who's writing this article, this is Dave Hodges, says, I have two former Virginia CPS workers who tell me that it's the goal of Virginia CPS to remove as many kids as possible and that evidence is fabricated. Papers are forged to this end. One of those sources is going public sometime in July. Prior investigations like those of the late Nancy Schaefer claim that children simply go missing from the care of various CPSs and that these children end up in child sex trafficking rings like the ones identified by Nick Bryant, the author of the Franklin scandal. And then he points out that Wells Fargo Wachovia was caught in sex trafficking of children and paid $400 million in fines, but of course, nobody in that bank went to jail. And then, of course, DynCorp, with ties to the Republicans, was also caught doing the same thing, and they paid a large fine, but again, nobody went to jail. We've been talking about this for a long time. Alex has talked about this over and over and over again. So it breaks my heart to see people bringing their children across, exposing them to these dangers, dumping them in the United States, just as I pointed out, like parents were doing at Hong Kong Disneyland when they couldn't get in. They just put their children over the fences and here, have a good time. That's what they're doing. You can't do that. This is a very dangerous world. This is a very dangerous country. We've had over and over again exposures of child sex trafficking. They also are going to become minions of the federal government. They're going to see the government as their savior, as their daddy. This has always been the dream of every tyrannical government, going back to Plato's Republic. He wanted to destroy the family. He wanted the children to see the government as their only family. What's going to happen with these children who have no family, no cultural connection, except to the government that they see as their benefactor? That is what Obama and the people who want to take this country down want. They want these children to see the government as their family, as their benefactor, as their protector, as their God. That's why they're doing this. We're going to break it out. There's more to this. Alexis Jones is going to be with us in the next segment. Stay tuned.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We're going to be joined in just a little bit by Alex Jones, and he's going to break down what I've been talking about in the last segment, and that is the uncontrolled immigration of unaccompanied alien children, as Homeland Security labels it. Unaccompanied alien children. In other words, parents in Central and South America, where the globalists have already gone in, collapsed the economy there, giving massive returns to the bankers who are running those countries, putting them into debt. As we've seen, going back to the days of Robert McNamara at the World Bank, where they were increasing the debt of these third world countries by up to 20% a year, essentially trying to take control of everything, creating a new feudalism where no one owned anything. Now, of course, we were told that the socialist revolutions were going to push back against that kind of rent-seeking, that kind of neo-colonialism. But then we look at somebody like Hugo Chavez. He's the one that Bloomberg is talking about giving a 700% return to the bankers. And at the same time, his successor is paying off, Barclays is bragging about how they're going to take care of their sovereign debt first, even though they've had over 40 people die because they can't get water. And in just the last couple of months, they can't get water, they can't get medicine. They have to leave that country, that socialist paradise, where they were told that all this was being done for the little man. They were pushing back against the big corporations, against the big multinational corporations and bankers. And yet those are the ones who are benefiting, just as we see here in America with Obamacare, that it's the large corporations who are benefiting at the expense of the middle class, at the expense of the lower class, people who can no longer get jobs at the lower end because the companies cannot afford to keep them on as full-time employees, cutting their hours, maybe cutting their jobs entirely because they're having to buy insurance policies that cover everything, things that they will never use. As I pointed out, young men having to have policies that cover maternity leave, child raising. You can't put that kind of stuff in and have people be able to afford the insurance policies. Of course, if they opt out, now they're counting the money on the other side. And that is, they think that maybe 4 million people will opt out and that will give them $4 billion in new taxes, about $1,000 a person. That's the way they're rolling. It's all about either control or taking your money, transferring it to a corporation. But it's not just that it's dangerous for the children. It's not just that they're bankrupting their countries and now they're going to bankrupt our country. And what they're going to do is they're going to use these children with no connection to their families to balkanize this country, to weigh down our welfare system. You cannot have a welfare system and open borders at the same time. Even if you want to argue that you can have one or the other, you cannot have both of them at the same time. You can't have unrestricted immigration and have everything provided or even much of what people need, education, food, allowances. You can't provide that for everybody just by opening up the borders. So you can't have a welfare state and open borders without destroying the country. But of course, we believe that is the plan of the Obama administration. What they would like to do is have essentially a 1984 on the top and a Brave New World on the bottom. In other words, if you come in, if you're a citizen here and you want to just kick back into a kind of hedonistic Brave New World at the bottom, zone out, watch sports, watch entertainment, watch their reality television, which is not reality at all. If you want to do that, they'll leave you alone like they did the proles in 1984. But if you don't want to do that, or if you're part of the infrastructure, if part of the bureaucracy, when the government, once the government owns everything, nobody will have any, there won't be a middle class, there won't be any businesses like there are today. But today, if you have a business, if you're part of the middle class, or even if you're part of the government bureaucracy, they're going to monitor you with a 1984 police state on the top, just to make sure that everything stays compartmentalized, just to make sure that you're not a dissident, just to make sure that you're not dangerous to them. That's what we see. But then the next step that they're coming at is global depopulation. They don't need us. They've got robots to do the lower work, and that's what they're working on. Alex is going to break that down for us in the next segment. Stay tuned.
Those who do not want us to speak.
We think, just let me think.
I suspect even now, orders are being shouted into telephones and men with guns will soon be on their way.
It's Chancellor Sutler.
Damn it.
Why? Because while the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power.
Words offer the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth. And the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You told me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and selecting your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others. They will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease. There were a myriad problems which conspired to corrupt your reason and rob you of your common sense. Fear got the best of you, and in your panic you turned to the now High Chancellor, Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace, and all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight in Austin, and we've been talking about immigration, rising, soaring immigration, as same time, of course, unemployment is rising and soaring, and the connections between that. We've got Alex Jones here with his take. Alex?
David, thanks for hosting the show on this eighth day. Can't believe that we're already well into this month of tyranny. We are seeing such incredible betrayals in this nation, as even mainstream controlled state-run media admits that Latin America, that's in the middle of a giant depression, is just telling their children, get to America. And we're talking 5-year-olds, 15-year-olds, you name it, are being given money and sent into Mexico, sent into the border states, pouring in from Venezuela, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Brazil. They have got hundreds of thousands of children under the age of 10 at different facilities. They've got thousands of them at a facility just down in San Antonio. And the Obama administration is saying, yes, we will take your children and they will stay here, which is only incentivizing more of the 7+ billion people that live outside of the United States, mainly Latin America, who's able to get here. But from China, you name it, are just pouring in to this country in mass. And then if you can get here as adults, you can have a baby free. You can have welfare. Just pull the lever to take the guns. Just pull the lever for socialism. Just pull the lever for banker bailouts. And the Republican leadership is going along with every bit of this because they've been bought and paid for by the same interest. And they are openly working with the leadership of the Democratic Party, the Republicans are, to target the Tea Party, the real resistance to the globalist takeover. The Republicans tried to co-opt the Tea Party. They couldn't do it. Now it's taking them over, and so the establishment's trying to kill it right now. But none of the media, other than InfoWars.com and places like DrudgeReport.com, I know Drudge on Friday when we co-hosted together, covered all of this. The fact that we've got, even with federal cooked books on unemployment and on people on welfare, 92 million Americans not working, labor force at 16-year low, 7 million have left under Obama, lethargic economy, and you've got at least 30 million illegals undocumented who will vote for the destruction of this country. Over 90% of them end up voting on record for a socialist, globalist agenda. And again, the big corporations, Walmart and others, admit, they tell their employees, go out and get on welfare as a subsidy because you can't survive on what we pay you. Well, it's the same thing with the illegals. They get a subsidy of welfare. Most of them are on welfare. No ID needed. They're able to get three or four different IDs from the Mexican consulate that all the major banks accept, the AP reports. And so they're above the law, getting welfare as a supplement while their husbands do go and work, many of them working hard. And it's destroying the economy and collectivizing the economy, just like Chinese slave goods have done. This is a designed system to break this culture down. I know you're going to be taking calls coming up at the bottom of the hour and breaking this down. And I want to hear from the listeners on this because undoubtedly NAFTA and GATT were meant to domesticate this country and written as one-sided trade deals, and Ross Perot was right. But undoubtedly now we're going into this managed global economy, David, and we can see that the cheap third world labor is bankrupting Europe, Spain and Italy and Greece and others that were prosperous just a decade ago are imploding with cheap third world labor as well. They use African and Eastern European and Asian and Turkish labor there, Middle Eastern labor to undercut people. And again, it doesn't create a free market when you've got imploded third world nations pouring in who get government subsidies on top of it. That isn't a free market like 150 years ago, poor European immigrants or others coming here. That isn't the type of cheap labor that produces a large middle class labor later. We know it creates economic destruction. We can see the proof. And then you have the globalists, the big mega banks, the big recipients of the banker bailouts by the trillions, like Warren Buffett, lobbying for open borders, lobbying for higher taxes on the middle class while they themselves are basically exempt. It's a perfect managed economy system to bring us to our knees, financially totally break us so that we are nothing but financial vassals. We are being conquered by 21st century high-tech economic warfare, and this country is being swamped right now. If they legalize the 30 million illegals by fiat and stop the deportations, as Obama has already done outside of Congress, and Congress won't impeach him, it sends a message to the world that if you can get here, you're going to be legal and you're going to be given a silver spoon in your mouth. So come here. And as long as you're anti-gun, anti-liberty, as long as you hate 1776, you're welcome. What a sickening story, David Knight.
Yeah, Alex, you know, we look at this surging immigration. What were once anchor babies are now becoming children coming into this society. And further down the road, another story that Drudge had up last week, at the end of the week, was the dawn of the robot revolution as armies of machines escape the factory. Of course, robots are coming. It's not necessarily going to be uncontrolled immigration that takes our jobs in the future. It's not going to necessarily be Mexicans. It's going to be metal cans that are coming out here. And what they're talking about.
And by the way, that's the perfect storm that the globalists all, from Ray Kurzweil to you name it, to Zbigniew Brzezinski, write about and talk about. Is that it's a design system to use a giant wave of human labor to drive down human worth. And then you have unlimited resources and rare earth minerals, basically, to have huge automated factories run by robots, serviced by robots that humans don't even know how to run now in many cases, pouring out ground drones, ground cars, ground tanks, ground ships, ground subs, ground cruise missiles. This is extinction, human obsolescence movement, where the architecture of the world has been designed to bring this into fruition. France says they plan to have a robot race with China to replace humans with robots in the next 10 years in their factories. This is everything Bill Joy talked about, David.
Oh, yeah. When I was in Europe and reading the European papers, most of the financial news was about what's going on in China. And I tell you what, France is, they may brag about the fact they're going to take China on robots, but they are way, way, way behind. As a matter of fact, China was number one. The U.S. was number three, I believe, and I think Japan was two. Japan and the U.S. are very close to each other. China was way ahead and growing at a much, much faster rate.
If you want to know the model, if you want to know the model of the world, folks, China, they admit, is the globalist model. Suicide nets at the Apple factories, forced abortions at the Apple factories, total tyranny, forced drugging, children chained up on light poles to defecate on the street and get one meal a day while their parents work in factories with engineering degrees. And ladies, this is mainstream news. This is what we're competing against. This is our future. Except soon, now Foxconn, the Apple company that they use, announced this year. You can pull it up. We'll pull it up in the next segment and show people. They plan to replace all of their 10 million workers with robots and have already done it with 1 million workers.
The earth riches of wisdom. So we have even right there.
What's his name?
Is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and I have on Skype Alex Jones on this June 8th edition of the Alex Jones Show. Now, we were talking just before the break, and we've been talking this whole program about the effect of uncontrolled immigration on unemployment. But what about the future? Well, we see that's going to be coming. The threat in the future is not necessarily going to be people taking our jobs, but it's going to be machines taking our jobs. And as we pointed out in this article, one of the quotes from it, they said, beyond defense, the biggest non-industrial market for robots are going to be things like agriculture, healthcare. Okay, that's where they're coming in. But notice that they said beyond defense. That is the biggest market for robotics. That should scare us all, shouldn't it, Alex?
And they've openly said, and now it's being announced in the news, I told people 10 years ago that MIT and others said, first the cars will roll out limited, then we'll show the robot cars are better than humans, then we'll give you higher insurance if you don't let the robot drive, then we'll phase out humans driving entirely. And Bill Joy wrote in 2000, April issue of Wired Magazine, billionaire owner of Sun Microsystems, that again, he went to a meeting of 200 plus top tech owners. And they made the decision at the meeting. They said, no, the consensus is we're just not going to let humanity live and just play games and watch movies all day. We're going to phase out humanity as we know it. We're going to merge with machines. And again, the architecture has already been decided. The future's already been decided. No one's being consulted. They've got us fighting with each other over what color we are when the decision has been made publicly. Zbigniew Brzezinski, all of them have written, Ray Kurzweil, Bill Joy, all of them. I mean, it's in all the tech magazines now. When I was first telling people this 18, 19 years ago, folks thought I was nuts. Now it's out in the open. People are just being acclimated like Wall Martians, you know, wandering around. And I'm frantic because everything I warn people about is now becoming passe and just happening. And again, it's an anti-human move. We should be using machines to empower us to go to the stars. They've decided humans will never even go to space. Homo sapiens sapien will never even go to space. The globalists openly say that they're going to merge the machines and they'll go to space. Well, I mean, who made them God? And then all the tech they build has back doors to control us. So I hope people out there on the immigration issue understand we feel for those in Latin America under globalist enslavement. We covered that earlier. And the Bloomberg article admitting that they're cutting the drinking water off to pay the globalist debts that were set up as frauds. They're imploding the third world to then implode the first world, where only the globalist in government and university and institution reservations are above the law, tax exempt, with the high technology, where everybody else is in total squalor, to remove the wealth out of the system so that we're totally dependent on them and only looking for food to eat and on government assistance to get the food, while robot factories, I need to explain this to people because this is the key to everything. First, they use third world labor and Chinese slave goods to leverage out the whole world, destroy the artisan class, the middle class factory worker section, the local decentralized privately held factory system in the West, in Europe, in the United States, in Canada, in Australia. Then they roll in giant third world collapse populations because the race at the bottom actually brought them down a level, forced them off their agri areas from Africa to Latin America to Asia on record, Agenda 21, into the big cities to work as slaves. Now those factories are imploding. There's no jobs. They're being replaced with robots. In the next phase, you flood the first world. This is a stated plan, folks. I'm giving it to you right now. Flooding the first world with the third world population, who you radicalize into socialism to overthrow the old West, collapsing that. Then you seal the borders, keep those contained once you have the political unit controlled, and then you start killing off the giant third world countries with bioweapon releases. You use the backlash against the immigrants in the phase two to then fortress your country, then that fortress is used to keep the bioweapon out when you wipe out the third world in phase three. Then after you've wiped out the third world and killed, say, 7 billion people by that time, it'll be about 9 billion when they run the coal operation in their own admissions. We're 7.5 billion right now. About 2020, 2025 when they do the mass extermination of the third world. Then a hyper police state comes in the first world that's left. And of course, V for Vendetta is all about this. I told you about the mass plague operation before that movie, but I know the Wachowski brothers are listeners. That's on record. But the whole point is they inculcated that and that they use a bioplague to bring in the tyranny. And then, you know, England prevails. England's the only country left. That's a icon for the first world. And then they finally start selective bioweapon releases within the first world to reduce it down to 100 million that David Rockefeller, Prince Philip, Prince Bernhard, Prince Charles, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, who's the big one, the CNN guy, Ted Turner. They're all eugenicists. They're all in eugenics meetings. That's ABC News, CBS News. That's the cult, and this is the plan. So they're going to phase us out with robots and human labor, cull us down, get us to where we do everything we're told just to be able to get the government check. Even if we work in a private factory, we'll be controlled by that. And then they're going to release the final bioweapon plagues or have robots basically sent out to cull the rest of us that are left. Because the big lie for the bureaucratic class is there's not going to be 100 million left. They only tell the bureaucrats and the Dr. Piankas and people that are going along with it, they only tell them that so they feel like they can be part of this plan. When you read the deeper writings, they say humans are a plague. All humans will be exterminated. Only the one supreme God being, Ray Kurzweil says he will become God. He doesn't believe in God now, but believes he will become God. There will only be one being left because the final computer human beings will fight with each other over supremacy. Now, that sounds insane because it is insane. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying this is the program, this is the plan that we've laid out today, and that's why I start hyperventilating, because it's all public. It's all public, and it's unfolding now. So the immigration issue is only one piece of it. They use our goodwill, our caring for the third world, our caring for third world people, wanting to help them to help them. We can't help 7 billion people. We have to get liberty in their countries. But see, if they can't use the West as a steam valve, those countries will have revolutions and reform themselves. The globalists are steering us into disaster by design. That's what I'm trying to break down. You're living in a science fiction movie. I'm begging everyone out there, please listen to me and realize how much danger you're in. Spread the word about the broadcast. I know that we have the documents, we have the proof, we have the facts at InfoWars.com. You've seen it all start to unfold and come true. I'm not a pessimist. I believe if we admit how serious things are, we have a chance to stop it. And I believe that if we get past the fear and realize that we can change the world and realize the globalist program, we can reverse all this. But the plan is so over the top, so evil, so out of control. Only admitting how diabolical it is can allow us to stand up against it. People have to realize there's no future if we don't turn this around. David Knight's coming up with the calls. I'll be back this entire week live in studio in Austin, all 3 hours each day, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Great job to the crew and our affiliates. Please support our sponsors at InfoWarsLife.com that David will tell you about. We come back right after this break and your phone calls. What's immigration doing for you? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, June 8th, 2014. Now, in the last segment, Alex is breaking down the globalist plan to take down not only our country, but the entire world. And we've seen this plan unfolding. I want to get your take on it. I want your calls. That's 877-789-ALEX or 877-789-2539. Now, tomorrow, Alex is going to be talking to Dinesh D'Souza. Of course, he's a filmmaker, documentarian, and he's the one that Obama is trying to put in jail. As his producer said, the same guy who produced Schindler's List said, this administration sees its opponents not as dissenters, but as enemies. If they can't refute you, they try to lock you up. Now, that's the guy who produced the new documentary that Dinesh D'Souza is doing. He produced his previous film, I believe, but he also produced Schindler's List. That's Gerald Mullen. And Dinesh D'Souza is going to be Alex's guest tomorrow when he returns to the radio show live here in Austin for this next week. He's been on vacation the last week or so, well-deserved vacation. He's going to be back this entire week, all 3 hours, every day. And he'll also be joined tomorrow with George Humphreys, a guest that he's had on in the past. Very interesting show tomorrow. But as I point out, give us your take on what's happening. It's 877-789-ALEX. That's 2539. We've been talking about the planned balkanization of America, the implosion of the economy, the destruction of privacy and due process. We talked about what was going on with the NSA and the courts, as well as the fact that we now are looking at the strong possibility being hinted at by many economists, many financial writers, that negative interest rates that are being talked about by the European Central Bank will be coming to the United States, along with cash controls that they've been floating as trial balloons in the European Union as well. You know, when we look at what they're doing to these children in Central and South America, it's much cleverer than what the American government did at the time that they were fighting the American Indians. When they fought the Indians out west, what they did is they conquered these individual tribes. They took their children and shipped them back east to schools, separated them from their families, from their culture, from any roots that they might have, in order to make them tied into the American government in a way that they never would be if they weren't separated from their children, if they weren't educated in isolation by the state. Now they're much more clever about it. That was done by force. Now what they're doing is they're doing it by incentive. They've gone into these third world countries, as we pointed out, destroyed the economy, and Hugo Chavez's socialist utopia. The bankers get 700% return on their investment, and the people there don't get water and medicine because, of course, Barclays brags that they're going to pay their sovereign debt before the people get to eat. That's what socialism does for you. That's how it works hand in glove with the globalist agenda. Now, as Alex was just saying, the globalists are stepping up their endgame. They're getting close. We're seeing that much of their plan is working. We need to fight back against it, but we also need to fight back individually to take care of our own families, to take care of ourselves. There are certain things that we can do. One of those is to support our sponsor for this hour, My Patriot Supply. And the day is coming when America, the America that we know and love, will then be a distant memory. But patriots everywhere are getting prepared, and they're doing it with one of my favorite companies, MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com offers high-quality survival gear and is the home of the Patriot Pantry line of emergency food storage that's delicious, easy to prepare, put together with GMO-free crops, storable for up to 25 years, and My Patriot Supply has developed space-saving and secure food storage bins, unlike flimsy plastic pails that you find almost everywhere else. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex today for special offers. That's MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex. The globalists are coming, and you need to be prepared. Fight back and get prepared at MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex today. And we've got a couple of calls here. Let's go to Fred in Pennsylvania. Fred?
David.
Yes.
David, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. I want to talk about the Chinese long-term plan of moving populations, Han population, which is what China, the Chinese ethnic group is, into five areas. Manchuria is really the homeland of the Manchus. They're not Han. The Xinjiang region, or Uyghur region, the Tibetan region, both eastern and western Tibet, Mongolia. They use secrecy, and the whole 20th century they've been moving into areas where they may claim land, but also these other lands have had nationalist movement, longstanding nationalist movements, even going back centuries. And Russia never really was willing to oppose them because they also like to colonize those areas. So Western China was invaded by a lot of Russian.
That's right. I think a lot of people don't realize just how segmented China is. You know, there's a lot of different languages there. Most people, there's a lot of Chinese who don't speak Mandarin. When we adopted our daughter from China, we got her from the southern part of China where they speak what we call Cantonese. And as we moved her around, there were a lot of people who couldn't understand anything she was saying. Of course, we couldn't either. But they have a lot of different dialects, is the point. And it's very easy for them to pit one group against another when you have that kind of a situation. It leads to a balkanization. That's one of the things that concerns me about bringing in so many people from South America. You know, it's when you bring in different cultures and different language groups, it's very easy for them to pit those groups against each other. As Alex pointed out when we were talking about the 25th anniversary of Tiananmen Square, the Chinese brought in troops from other areas who didn't speak the language, who considered themselves to be different in many ways, culturally or whatever, even though they may look the same to us, even though we don't understand either language or we think they're somewhat homogeneous. They brought in these other groups in order to suppress the demonstrators there. That's what's so dangerous about this, is the kind of balkanization. But go ahead.
Well, David, can I just say that they're using the language, they're using the phrase ethnic minorities, when in fact, either now or until very recently, these homelands have had ethnic majorities of those other non-Chinese people. So they're using this propaganda of saying, well, we're providing for these ethnic minorities. These areas do not have those populations as a minority. It's the Chinese that are a minority in a lot of cases. And what they do is they just will invade and colonize and move in until they become a minority. But during that initial period, they have a complete secrecy clampdown. Have you ever heard of any kind of Uyghur media or Tibetan media or Manchu media or Mongolian media?
Well, that's true. That's why it is so vitally important for us to keep our media alive and to not allow the government to gain control of the internet through these kinds of corporate maneuvers that we see happening through the FCC. They now want to, they've given signals that they want to try to control content, and the fact that they're going to use net neutrality, that's going to be in a very effective way, especially once Comcast has its merger with the number two internet provider. That's going to create a giant corporation, if the FCC allows it, that could then leverage this net neutrality where people have to pay in order to get a reasonable internet speed. That's going to be a very chilling effect on free speech and on the creation of new media. As you say, there's no Tibetan media that we hear anywhere. There's not going to be any new bloggers coming up. That's the thing we've loved about the internet, is that someone can rise up. They can come up with their content. And if it's compelling content, if it's original content, they've had a level playing field. That's what they want to destroy with the coming net neutrality. Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Zach in Wisconsin. Zach?
Hey, David, I just wanted to make a quick point about these illegal immigrants. They're not just coming into the United States, you know, to destroy our economy. I think the globalists are sending them in to also destroy our civil liberties. I mean, we can see that with the Fourth Amendment free zones along the border.
Yes.
And I'm looking at a Huffington Post article right here that says Hispanics are way less likely to own guns than blacks or whites. And so when they vote on, oh, we need more firearm restrictions, then Hispanics are just going to vote along, you know, the globalist agenda line.
Yes, absolutely. If they cut off, if these children come in and they're raised in American schools by the government and they have no idea of our heritage, they're not going to value it. We'll be right back with more of your calls.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and this is our last segment. We're taking your calls on immigration, on the end game of the globalists, as we've been talking about how they are bringing in a huge number of children by themselves to be raised in America. It's not only a collapsing of the economy economically, but it's a balkanization of the country as well. Many different disturbing aspects of it. But of course, they've already had their own economies eviscerated by the bankers whose next step is not necessarily to threaten your job using immigrants from Mexico. It's not the Mexicans you need to worry about. It's the metal cans that are going to replace all of us. We just had a robotics fair in Munich. This is an article from the London Financial Times that Drudge picked up last week, where they're talking about the dawn of a robot revolution as an army of machines escapes the factory. Now, of course, they talk about it as being beyond defense. The biggest non-industrial markets for robots are agriculture and healthcare. Now, of course, what they mean is, in other words, the military is the number one market for these robots, not really even the factories. But for the first time this year, one of the aspects of this article is that they had an entire section about service robots. You see, it's not just manufacturing that's going away. You're going to lose the service economy as well when these robots start driving trucks instead of truck drivers. Listen to some of the other ones that they've got here. They've got a Carabot that sweeps office floors and empties waste paper bins. You've got another one from Stockbot, which walks the aisles in a shop or a warehouse to check inventory at night. Or you've got autonomous vehicles ferrying laundry or waste around hospitals. And, of course, they're going to be ferrying everything on the roads as they replace truck drivers, as I just mentioned, with self-driving trucks. The service economy is going to go away, just as we've seen the manufacturing economy melt away. We have Chris in Indiana who wanted to talk about robots. Chris, what did you want to say about robots?
Hi, David.
Hi. Go ahead. What did you want to say about robots?
There's a couple things. There's one, I'm a whistleblower in a way when it comes to my profession, but first of all, I wanted to say that all of this has to do with that movie Elysium, which desensitizes us to and conditions us to accept socialist health care, open borders, brain chips, robot workers, communist government coups, and so forth.
Yes.
And, yeah, exactly. And I work in the healthcare system as a medical technologist, cytotechnologist, if you want to be technical about it, and I screen a lot of slides that need analysis, and I can understand what is abnormal and normal. And now the papillomavirus smear, you know, the pap smear, is under a microscope taken. It's a slide sample is being taken, and we analyze them. And now the FDA is moving towards just pure HPV testing that is by a robot, even though that the numbers, it used to be one of the biggest causes of women's death in this country up until 1955. And since 1955 until 1992, those are the stats I looked up, it declined by 60%. And I think that has a lot to do with Obamacare. I mean,
what is it? What used to be the biggest cause of death in women? What was it that you said it declined?
Cervical cancer.
Oh, cervical cancer. Okay.
Worldwide, it actually remains to be one of the highest causes of women's death. But in the U.S., it used to be about second or third, and now it's 14th.
Okay.
Since 1955. And it's all due to that screening of papillomavirus testing, and they're all going to robots. It hasn't even become clear yet. You look up that FDA approves Roche robot screening. The company's Roche. And it's R-O-C-H-E.
Yeah, they're moving into all different areas, as they were pointing out. They had a lot of things in this this robotics fair in Munich that were focused on healthcare. Thank you so much, Chris in Indiana. You know, it's been pretty heavy news today. And so I guess maybe one of the ways that we can push back against this is kind of by satirizing it. You know, robots are not only concentrating wealth in the hands of a technocratic elite, but they're also going to give a monopoly of force to a few people. That's one of the things that really concerns us. As I mentioned before, again, the biggest market is for the military. When DARPA is looking at these robots, they like to sell them to the public as saying, you know, they're going to help you in a disaster, if it's an earthquake or if it's a nuclear reactor that they came apart. That's not the brief of DARPA. DARPA is a defense research agency. They're looking for military uses of these robots. So when you see these things running faster than humans, when you see them walking around, you know, running on two legs or running on four legs, like faster than a jaguar, that's what they're looking. They're looking at robots that are going to take people on, that are going to be used for crowd control, are going to be used to hunt people down. But there's a funny article on The Onion about the police use of robots, just as the last caller was talking about Elysium and how they showed the police brutalizing people. I had high hopes for that movie, but it turned out, as he pointed out, just to be predictive programming, trying to get people to accept some of the things. Just putting forward this whole immigration, Obamacare issue, it really wasn't pushing back against the out-of-control use of robotics in the police, but this Onion article does. And this is titled, New Law Enforcement Robot Can Wield Excessive Force of 5 Human Officers. And in this phony article, the satire, they say, the Houston Police Department has developed a new line of law enforcement robots capable of wielding the excessive force of 5 human officers. And they quote an engineer who says, we've done extensive testing with the AP-12, and we can say these units are capable of carrying out everyday police work just as proficiently as any member of our force. Whether it's dispersing peaceful protesters by blasting a 14-nozzle pepper spray cannon or reacting to reports of suspicious behavior by immediately striking the knees, face, and throat of a potential suspect up to 10 times harder than its human counterpart. Thanks to these robotic units, our deputies can rest assured that their work will be performed to the same standards we have always expected from our patrolmen. And they said they've outfitted them with numerous features that make it ideal to abruptly resort to extreme measures, including a highly sensitive motion detector that perceives most gestures as an act of resistance necessitating physical force. And additionally, the robots possess a powerful hydraulic grasping system, enabling them to repeatedly slam subjects of any size and weight against fences, dumpsters, and car hoods with previously unattainable levels of aggression. That's from The Onion, making fun of our police who have been using new rules of engagement and excessive force. And, of course, you could always replace them with robots who will do a much more efficient job. We're nearly out of time, but let's go to one more call here. Daniel in Austin, you wanted to talk about immigration. Go ahead, Daniel. We don't have Daniel there. Let's go to Andrew and Andrew in Pennsylvania. Did you want to talk about depopulation and colonizing space?
Yeah, getting back to what Alex said about that, it has been said by some globalist researchers that at least half of the globalist forces, the globalist factions, do not want to depopulate the Earth. They actually want to microchip the entire Earth, like Aaron Russo talked about, so they can take away the free will of humanity to make us act in malevolent ways. So as part of their colonizing space agenda, they can turn humanity into a cosmic war machine. And yes, the Star Wars Galactic Empire is disclosure in your face about this.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, a lot of people have debated whether they want to actually replace humans with robots or whether they want to essentially turn us into robots with mind control. There's been a lot of research from DARPA in both areas. So the thing that concerns me as an engineer is as I look at this technology, as Alex had pointed out, they always put backdoors into everything. They give us technology with useful hooks in it, things that we can use in our life that we see all the time in our smartphones. And yet at the same time, they took it in, they turn it into a tracking device. They turn it into a listening device in terms of espionage. And so they have multiple agendas for all these things. That's what really concerns me. Technology is like any other tool. It can be used for good or it can be used for evil. And yet, increasingly, we see the military-industrial complex and the research departments, as Eisenhower warned us in his famous military-industrial complex speech. He warned us not only about the military-industrial complex, but about the research that was going to be driving that, saying that our government, with its grants and research funding, would essentially take over research and turn it into things that are always focused on the darkest, most evil side. That's the thing that really concerns me. Let's go to Greg in Bakersville. Greg?
I'm in Copenhagen. Hey, thanks a lot.
Sure, go ahead.
Hey, you know the Act of 1871?
No, go ahead. Tell us about it.
Oh, well, let me just kind of, we don't have enough time.
Okay. Well, just summarize it quickly for the audience.
Yeah, you know what, if you want to read the whole document, this guy tattooed 1009 has it, 1009.com has it on his channel. I think it's like 24 pages or something like that.
All right.
And
you're right. We're getting
what happened, you know, after the Civil War, we were hurting for money. So,
sorry, Greg, we're out of time. People go that take a look at that link. Now, tomorrow, Alex is going to be back with Dinesh D'Souza, 11 Central. Join us then. Sorry, Greg.
A chemical spill contaminating the water supply in 9 West Virginia counties.
This year alone, over 300,000 people in West Virginia had their drinking water contaminated.
What are the health effects of having these drugs in our drinking water?
It's forced medical treatment without the consent of residents.
My friends, water filtration is one of the most basic actions you can take to protect you and your family from the harmful toxins and heavy metals in your tap water.
On average, the county says it sprays with glyphosate at least once a week.
Few filters cut out the glyphosate that is found in water supply. Supplies worldwide. Remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, hydrofluorosilicic acid, sodium hexafluorosilicate.
Fluoride, it is in tea, it's in coffee, it's in water, it's in bread, it's in toothpaste.
It is our responsibility to protect our families. The establishment's not going to do it. It's time to take action. It's time to filter our water. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and use promo code WATER to get 10% off their entire family of incredible products. Or call toll free 888-253-3139. Hi, folks. Alex Jones here with some important information. I want to tell you about Matt Redhawk and his team of patriots over at My Patriot Supply. Several years ago, Matt was sitting in his two-bedroom apartment, frustrated with the direction this country was headed and the charlatans willing to sell us out for a quick buck. Deciding to take action, a company run by patriots for patriots was born. My Patriot Supply has never taken a loan or accepted outside funding. They now operate 2 distribution facilities and employ over 50 hardworking American men and women. It is rare to find companies who practice what they preach. And that's why I stock my pantry with high-quality storable foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex today for special offers on emergency food storage or call their preparedness specialist at 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Do business with someone who shares your values. MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex.
Coast to coast. Direct from Austin, you're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network.